Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see. Wow. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Cool. Wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
I have something to call out. Speaking of calling, let's call something out.
Okay.
Back with us in the studio.
Hot producer Joe.
You know, really getting his hands dirty today is Hot Producer Joe. It's almost like he's been too good for us lately.
No. Well,
the opposite.
Oh.
Oh, no,
that's
no.
That's not so.
I think what's been happening lately, listeners, is that Hot Producer Joe, Hot Producer Alex will just poke their heads in and be like, hey, you guys good?
Okay, yeah, you guys good? We're going to go do whatever the fuck else we do with our lives. And they leave us with Will, who's wonderful. But, you know, it's not that Will is not family. It's just that, you know, you're family. And for you to abandon us, I would just be curious to see what the listeners out there think about HPJ.
HPJ has...
being distant.
HPJ has just sort of been canonized in this way, and for him to just
leave
is unconscionable. Okay, well, we'll talk about this later, but listeners...
It's irresponsible. Because what... You don't know what we're going to say.
Yeah.
We're running amok.
Anyway.
Listen. As award season heats up...
Oh, my God. Well, yes. Please keep going. I'm a little, like...
What? What is your status right now?
I'm itching to talk about this.
Okay.
And we're all about to get an education,
too. Well, we truly are. Okay, so I was just saying as I came in here, I don't think I've ever been so gagged for the guest, because literally, like, and what I'm saying is I don't give a fuck about anyone we've had on the
show.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
Uh-huh. No, but in addition, I have been on this gentleman's website since for, like, the past 11 years, and I'm going to date myself by saying... I think the first time I was like, I'm obsessed with this website, was when there was full articles and, like, props being given to Kirsten Dunst's performance in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That's when I knew you were my number one.
Oh, my God.
And you know why I always say Kirsten Dunst makes it look easy?
Why?
I got that from our guest. Because I was like, she does make it look easy.
Especially in that movie.
Completely underappreciated across the board for almost everything she's ever done.
She is, and that character is... integral to the plot.
Huge.
And oh my God, and Kirsten was so good, and she played High and Drunk really well. Remember?
Yeah. Almost impossible to do. Makes it look easy. And I will say, it's rule of culture number what?
1470. Oh, 1470. 1470 is Kirsten makes it look easy.
And we talked about this, about The Beguiled. I mean, I don't really understand why not in the conversation.
I know.
It kind of just seemed... Well, we could talk about this
because we literally have the best person
to talk about this with.
Okay, this is someone who basically invented Oscar prognostication.
We would say what he says about that, but I love it.
I think that's true. I would like to say
he invented it.
Or just the modern sort of discourse. He has created this space.
For me,
yes. Yeah. That's his credit. I'm starting the credits, by the way.
And, you know, yes. Okay, so I want everyone to be logging on, especially through the rest of the season and also of the Oscar season, and of course all year round. Mm-hmm. I'm on it every day, thefilmexperience.net. I'm telling you, it's the most in-depth film coverage. There's lots of websites out there. You got your Gold Derby, you got your Awards Daily for you Oscar gays out there.
But
this, I think, is the website with the most dimension that cares the most.
It's
for me.
You know, nothing's stuck with me in this way, and I'm a recent convert, as Matt.
Yeah, I know. I got you into it.
You got me into it, especially this season, this year. And he has the accompanying podcast, the Film Experience podcast.
Yes, so fun.
And he will release his upcoming
Film Bitch Awards.
Huge
so
deal.
This actually, I believe that Kirsten Dunst was a gold medalist in the Film Bitch Awards years ago for Eternal Sunshine, and I was like, yes, because no one is paying any attention to Kirsten.
Absolutely.
And also, the categories are amazing. You have hottest hottie of the year.
Hottest hottie.
You have there's like a 15 or to 20 like best scenes of the year.
I can't believe awards don't do
get this
scenes.
Too. Yeah. So there's not only supporting categories,
but limited
performance categories.
Yes,
like
yes.
Someone that comes in and just slays one scene.
Right.
Honey.
Right. Like who were we talking about last week?
Betty Gabriel.
Betty Gabriel. Get out. Oh my God. She slayed that one scene.
I can't keep talking about this without him.
Okay, so let's introduce our guest, Nathaniel Rogers.
Hello.
Hi, Nathaniel.
Hello.
Hi. It is, first of all, listen, this is like a little atypical. We usually have like New York area comedians on,
yes.
But I feel like we're here to give everyone an education in terms of how the award season shakes out.
And it is our honor and the listener's honor to be listening to someone talk about this at length, in depth, and to have Nathaniel here with us. So this is our privilege, just so you know.
I'm very scared.
Don't
to
be.
To
no.
have to educate everyone.
No. Okay,
because
you know
you
what?
Do it so did you know you have stans? Did you know you have fans out there that are like really obsessed?
Yes, I've been stopped in movie theaters.
You have?
And on the streets of other cities, but not in New York so much.
Okay. So listen, I bet that people that see you in movie theaters know that you're cultivating an opinion that is then going to influence the masses. And so they feel like very nervous to see you. If I saw you in a movie theater, I think I would just leave you alone.
No, they're like, what did you think of that?
They
want, you know, the scoop.
They want the scoop. They want to know what's going to... So, listen, so are you in the Broadcast Film Critics Association?
I am, yeah.
So you got to vote for the recent awards.
Yes.
How are you feeling about how it shook out?
Well, I'm always a little nervous about that show because it's one of those things you want to be, like, proud of it since you're a member, but you're always, like, a little like, I'm sorry to everyone.
Yeah.
Because you have a direct line to it in some ways.
Yeah.
But you don't get to really decide on a lot of like the rules. And
they're
constantly changing their categories, which is a little embarrassing because consistency is key. Yeah. Oscar is the king or the queen.
Yes. Right, yes. Right.
Because it's been the same.
Right.
So well, relatively.
Relatively. Yeah. But like, you know, 90 years now, like you have to, in order to have that power and that heft, you have to be an institution.
Right. Of course. So, yeah. So I think, I guess we could say the big winner of the Broadcast Film Critics Awards, but now they're just called the Critics' Choice Awards, right?
Yes, Critics' Choice.
Okay. More mainstream, The Shape of Water.
Shape of Water and, Shape of Water and the snub of the night was Lady Bird, just across all
sectors. Walked
away
with nothing.
With nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Shape of Water, which like I guess, and I think, and just reading Nathaniel's site, reading Film Experience, its chances are just even higher now to win Best Picture because of this genre thing, and it's because it's I don't know.
Yeah, where is your head at right now about what the front runner is to win Best Picture? Because it feels all over the place, but also we feel like it's kind of centering in on maybe two or three movies. Like, where do you think it's at right now?
Well, it's very confusing right now because people are, it's in this war of like the old and the new. Like, I think at some point someone's going to write a book, maybe me, but somebody is going to write a book like Mark Harris, who I love, Pictures at a Revolution, which is about 1967, and how the Oscars and the movie culture was shifting that year was like a pinpoint pivotal year. And I think that's going to be written at some point about this time period.
I agree. In the context of like Weinstein stuff and, right, correct, maybe
well, because everything seems to be shifting, not just in the culture of Hollywood, hopefully. We don't know the fallout of that.
Yeah, we really don't.
But the types of movies that are nominated, like
absolutely.
In Moonlight, that would not have been a Best Picture winner 10 years before that.
No.
And then this year, maybe Get Out.
Maybe.
I think it stands a chance. Because I think right now what you're seeing with all the awards bodies that have kind of decided, they're all, I feel like Get Out is what you get when you combine all these different things and you get a result.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think that across the board, everybody and every that does something in regards to film, actors, writers, directors, I think people that work in terms of like behind the scenes and everything like that, I think everyone has a respect for Get Out. And now, but that makes it confusing because how does a movie win Best Picture? I know that there's something to do with like everyone having it be their favorite movie or listing it as number one on a ballot. Like, it's very complicated.
It's not a straight vote, which it used to be. And so that's why it's a little confusing. Like, maybe La La Land would have won last year if it was a straight vote.
Yeah.
But what happens is you get points for being number one and then points for being number two and all that. So if you're a divisive movie now, it's actually harder to win the top prize.
Right.
Because not every, like, Best Actress isn't ranked.
Right.
It's not ranked.
No. It's just, like, whoever gets the most number of votes.
Yep.
Really, but Best Picture is ranked, so, you know, if lots of people hate you, even if the most people loved you, you're not going to win.
That's so interesting.
What's an example of that this year? Of a divisive movie.
Well,
that's in the running.
What do you think?
Three Billboards.
Three Billboards.
It's true. I think it is the most divisive movie of the year in terms of the awards conversation, and you really see a backlash now. I think people, once sites started reporting, well, you know, it's now the front runner after Golden Globes, or that's how it feels. I think people immediately started to feel like, ugh, we don't want that to be the front runner.
Which was sort of the La La Land narrative last year, definitely, a little bit, right? And it's so interesting. I like you read up on all of the three billboards backlash, and it's like some people are pointing out how Toronto, like, just at Toronto, it did so well, but mm-hmm. like that just speaks to how like homogenous of a body like that festival is. It's just like, oh, it's like a bunch of white people who like think it's like a feel good, like it thinks it's like a nice little racial salve or whatever. You know what I mean? It's
like, yeah, no, absolutely. That is the criticism.
And then it's like, oh, but then you release that to like a general audience, and they're like, wait a minute, this is weird and stupid.
And I think that's why I personally am going to go out on a limb and give Get Out the edge to win, because I do think that people are going to say, fuck it, I mean, that was my favorite movie. Yeah. I think. If you had to predict now, what are we saying?
Now, I would maybe say Shape of Water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because it's not divisive.
Sure.
Right.
Like, even people like me, like, I don't love it.
Yeah.
But I definitely don't dislike it.
Right.
And it's fine in every ways. It doesn't upset me.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't rank it last on a ballot.
Right,
sure.
Right.
It's a crowd pleaser in that way, where it's like, there's nothing to really hate.
Although it hasn't really caught on with the public.
Yeah.
If you look at the box office, it's kind of like below Lady Bird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Below Three Billboards.
Right. I was talking to someone about this, and you know what I hate?
What do you hate?
This is what I hate about Shape of Water.
Tell us what you hate.
They gave Octavia just
nothing.
Nothing.
Well, to be honest with you, they never give her much.
I know, but especially in this movie. I mean, in this film, though, half of her lines are, Eliza! Like, you know what I mean?
I will hate it if she's nominated. Because I'm sorry, but there's other performances that we're not even talking about. Like, I will bring up Kirsten again. Like, there's just, it seems like there's other, like, for, I'm sorry, but Get Out doesn't work without Allison Williams' performance.
No, you're right.
And I've heard people say she's good in that movie and good in Girls the same way as January Jones is good in Mad Men, like,
no,
fully by
no,
accident.
No, not at all.
But I don't think that's true.
No.
So I just think, and I just think, like,
that's such an insulting thing. Like, comparison.
That January Jones is good in Mad Men by accident? Is she not?
Which is sort of correct, but to level that on someone else and be like, well, Allison Williams is just, it's just
the January
fluke.
Jones of the year.
It's just like, what a fluke. Like, that's, yeah.
But anyway, the thing is, I think that would be such a more exciting nomination than, like, I hate to do this, but, like, Octavia for doing nothing and Mary J. for doing nothing.
Oh, I haven't seen Mudbound yet.
She does nothing.
Okay.
Do you agree she does nothing?
Well, but she does it so resonantly. Yeah.
She does nothing so beautifully.
That is, which is January Jones.
She certainly looks good in like sunglasses and a hat.
She does.
And her
best scene in the whole movie is when Carrie Mulligan's very upset. But when is Carrie Mulligan not upset?
She's always got to be in some sort of anguish on like
she's
a one.
Incensed.
It's at least on a 6 or 7 out of 10.
Sure.
But they're like clenching and embracing.
Yeah.
And Mary J. Blige just perfect in that scene. There's all these levels of like, yes, I'm giving you comfort, but why do I have to give you comfort?
Oh yeah, that's true. You know what? It's just surprising. It's like one of those things at the end of the year where you're like, huh, they've been appearing on every list. Or like, this is something that's a thing.
Or that like, oh, this person is not on every list.
Similar to that. Like, for example, why Holly Hunter and not Ray Romano?
You've just said it by saying their names.
I mean,
and
Ray
there
Romano.
You go, bitch.
But Ray Romano
and
is so
there
good.
You go.
I love Ray
but
Romano.
The thing is, though, you can't take Ray Romano. Like, Ray Romano at no point in his life is doing a mute performance and winning an Oscar. You know what
and
I
neither
mean?
Neither is Holly.
Yes, she is, bitch. You didn't see the piano.
Oh, I didn't see it.
You must see the piano.
I thought you were talking about, like, fucking Sally and or something.
No,
like,
no, oh. honey. And also, I don't know. I don't get Sally Hawkins. Really, I don't think she's got star quality, but anyway, that's a whole other can of worms.
Okay.
So listen, I just think Romano, actually, it's a more versatile performance than Holly Hunter's. I think Holly Hunter's performance is great, and I liked it even more the second time I watched The Big Sick, but I was like even more impressed with Ray Romano the second time.
Right,
I was like, it just
Holly,
feels
yeah Because Holly Hunter's whole thing. Well, go ahead.
But that might not be. That might be the surprise factor, which is also key in Oscar races.
True.
Yeah.
Like when an actor you're not expecting anything from.
Yeah.
Like January Jones.
Exactly. Like, I mean, January, if she were to get an Oscar nomination, that would be wild.
And it would happen if she was really good in a movie, because people sure would be would. Like, wow.
Not yeah. January.
Let me tell you, it sure would.
Well, she's doing a great job of level setting and of just being like, I'm not going to be good at this.
What the fuck is she doing right now, January?
I don't
do you know?
I have no clue.
Did I tell you the last
Nathaniel,
thing I
do you
saw?
Know?
Do you know what January Jones is
doing? I don't, and I was a huge fan of her on Mad
look,
Men.
Look, I actually
look,
love
great.
Her too. I love her on Mad Men too. But once you see her in like X-Men, that X movie,
oh,
and she
yeah.
plays like whatever Ms. Frost.
Yeah.
Ms. You're
Frost.
Like, this bitch is only like, come on, like she's
sure. I mean, yeah, but Mad Men, she
amazing.
Gave you,
but also
what she. Meant to give you
she definitely and there's also a scene in Mad Men which I'm a January Jones apologist half the time for this reason. Do you remember you were a big Mad Men fan? You always covered Mad
yes,
Men.
Yes, I loved it so much.
I loved your analysis of Mad Men because Mad Men was very cinematic,
of course,
and
famously
so. But there's the scene where she thinks she's gonna model again and they come over and they're like, actually you're not, and we're gonna need to take that necklace. And she's like, oh, okay. And they take the necklace off her, and her eyes just fill with tears.
I
was like,
that.
She's giving you everything in that scene.
Sure.
And then also, I think it was like the finale of the season three. And she's
was she
like,
and Don are fighting?
She's gonna, they're about to fight, and yeah. She's like, I want to scream at you. And it was just like, yeah, you're so uncomfortable expressing yourself, and so such a child that, like, it was such an effort for her to even say the words that she felt.
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
You know, maybe she was good, Nathaniel. Maybe you're right.
Fine.
And she's amazing on that show, although I will hold it against her forever.
Yeah.
And not Betty Draper, not...
Sure.
Not January Jones, but sometimes you hold it against an actor 100%. When they're playing the character.
When they're playing a monster, yes.
Absolutely.
No,
where
I mean...
she dissed Joan Crawford in the show, in yeah. The Best of Everything, saying Joan Crawford wasn't even human, and I was very riled up.
Wow. Yeah. Very
and
that's all
upset.
It took. I'm not saying that's all it took. I don't mean to minimize that, but I mean...
I unfortunately hold it against Peggy Olson that Elizabeth Moss is a Scientologist.
Oh, that's... So what an interesting... what a nice inversion.
Yeah,
or
I
reversal
do
or whatever.
No, but I mean, look. I just had my SAG. I voted, and I did something that I would like your take on. I voted without seeing everything. You say no. This is not good.
Lump of coal in your
lump
stocking.
Lump of coal. Right. I didn't... I'm not seeing Three Billboards.
That's...
I can see it anytime because the screener is sitting there, but it's just that kind of movie where I'm like, I don't want to watch this. But
it's entertaining, I will say. I found it entertaining, and my first response of walking out of the theater was, oh, like, what a fun way for Martin McDonagh to do, like, Coen Brothers drag.
Okay.
But then, you think about this, you know, Sam Rockwell's redemption arc, and you're like, oh, actually, that was kind of fucked up.
Well, so, that's the thing is he's such a muscular writer
yeah.
that he can get away with a lot until after the fact, and you're like,
yeah.
Wait.
That's yeah. exactly what happened.
Upon
right.
examination, you're like, hold on, wait, I was really on board for this too. Also, shame on me.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I feel like we should pull up the prediction index, but maybe not.
I mean, we should do that. I would say, well, I just want to ask you flat out, like, it, without taking off the prognosticator cap, what have you really enjoyed this year? Not to spoil the Film Bitch Awards, which are
yes.
forthcoming.
Or your top 10, which you have not released this
right,
year.
Right. But can you talk about, like, this is true. Okay, so the tea
I'm
will
feeling
be spilled.
So much guilt about that right now.
I mean, but
well, I'm so late.
That's okay.
I will say this. Whenever you are late on the Film Bitch Awards, I get really mad. Like, whenever, like, I see a category is not full, or, like, sometimes just the blocks will be, like, yellow, silver, and bronze, or whatever, I'll be like... Well, what is it? So, like, I need to know.
Sure.
Like,
it's called a life. I have a life to lead.
I just unfortunately don't and, like, need that information.
Life is what happens in between the Film Bitch Awards.
Yeah, it's true.
That's
it's
a rule
true.
Of culture.
But what are you liking? I mean, like, what are you most excited to see get recognition?
Well, this is the happy ending of the year mm-hmm. that Lady Bird got so much.
Absolutely.
Because yes. I wasn't expecting it.
Right.
And
yeah.
I love the movie. I think it's
terrific.
Amazing from start to finish.
Yep.
And I feel like Greta took not that she needed it from other people, but 20th Century Women was my favorite movie from last year.
Which you did get famously year. Ranked at number one for last year, mm-hmm. which I mm-hmm. sort of agree with.
I liked it very much.
I liked it a little bit more than Moonlight, but yeah.
All of that humanism from that and from Mike Mills' movies and from her performances, you can feel her as an actor within the movie even though she's not in it, which is amazing.
She has a presence.
She's really got such a strong POV. I think the scene of the year
he's obsessed with
this I'm obsessed with this. I just think that nobody has gotten across this coming out, kind of the panic and especially the kind of like regional, like how you feel in that type of like area, than that scene where Lucas Hedges breaks down to mm-hmm. Saoirse. I mean, that was, it caught me by such surprise. I felt myself rise out of my seat and my just eyes fill with tears. I felt more seen by that as a gay person than any moment of Call Me By Your Name.
Wow, big. Okay,
I like Call Me By Your Name.
And you know what line keeps bouncing around, like resounding in my head, echoing in my brain, is Saoirse saying, "You're gay." Remember that? The way she says that in that scene?
Yeah.
You're gay. I don't know. There's something about that.
I just think that scene doesn't happen by accident. That scene happens because there's an amazing director directing incredible material. I think that it would be such a crime, and I don't think it'll happen now, but if she's to miss out on Best Director nomination...
I'm so worried about that.
You must worry, because it's happened so many times.
Right.
But
I feel like... Because voting ended, this week?
2 days ago.
Two days ago.
Yeah.
So I feel like just in that window after the Golden Globes and before the due date, I feel like it got a boost.
I agree. But
I agree, but what I'm still nervous about is... they don't vote as a monolith, and that's what people forget every year.
Exactly.
It's just individual people. You know this thing that just happened that I just have to talk about because I'm so mad about it? The Mark Wahlberg
thing with the pay. I wanted to talk about this,
The pay disparity with Michelle Williams. So, you know, he donated his
salary. Congrats, Mark. Good job.
That's what I said I wanted him to do, was exactly what he did, donated to the fund.
Which is nice, but anyway.
It's nice and it's great. I'm sure they could use the money. But also he's getting credit for it when he only did it because he was pressured into it.
Exactly. It's getting caught.
So I'm thinking Mark Wahlberg's ballot, he's not going to be like, which women can I honor this year? You know, that's not the way people think individually. We all have our own opinions. And
I also was thinking like, you know, post the Globes, it felt like, oh, now we're definitely going to see a lot of women nominated at the Oscars. Like, we will see Greta. But also, you know, some people might have voted a little early. Some people aren't waiting until the last day to cast their ballots. I mean, I didn't wait to vote for SAG, I should have because I didn't see everything. I just knew who I wanted. Mm-hmm. Some people might have just known who they wanted and voted already. And also, you know, they weren't affected by the Oprah speech and Barbara shaming everyone and Natalie Portman dropping the mic. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't maybe necessarily moved by that because they didn't wait.
Sure.
And they maybe don't read everything online like the rest of us do who devour culture.
Exactly.
Right. Except for the Film Experience, they probably read
it. They probably read that one.
They probably read it. Do you ever hear from people, like when you interview many actors, I just saw you did an interview with Jamie Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Who I love so much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what a dream.
What a cutie. Yeah.
What a dream. Are he and Evan Rachel still together? No.
No, he is now with Kate Mara.
Oh, okay. I love Kate Mara.
Interesting.
You didn't make a face like you don't like Kate Mara.
I have no real opinion on Kate. I never saw House of Cards. I never watched House of Cards.
I like Kate, and here's how I know I like Kate, because I was in despair when she, spoiler alert, got fucked up by that subway in House of Cards.
Sure.
I didn't even watch the show, and I felt despair about that.
Oh, yeah. No, it was despairing to watch, especially because it came out of nowhere. This is when House of Cards was at the peak.
Right.
It used to be legit good.
Right. Matt, you were asking, does Nathaniel hear from industry
people? Yeah, I was
people,
asking, do you ever hear back, maybe catch a little flack, or like ever hear from someone that... that kind of like was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Like, what's the kind of blowback or, you know, positive stuff, like any memories or stuff like that?
The most blowback I ever got was from Jennifer Lawrence's publicist.
Thank God. Okay, go on.
Okay, wow.
No, but this was Winter's Bone time period.
Oh, wow. So early, before Jennifer was even like a thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it was about a little caption I put under a photo.
Oh my God, no.
Which I'm not even proud of now, but I was just trying to be funny. which sometimes backfires if you're not a comic.
I think you're so funny. It's
come
like,
on,
I think
give yourself
so
some
funny.
Credit. What was the caption?
I'm so embarrassed to say now in this year of the women. I was listing like each woman and like saying like doctor or whatever the dress.
Yes.
Spoke to me.
Yes.
But it was in tiny little print because it was the caption. And when it came to Jennifer's, it just said, expensive call girl.
Honestly, though, they put her in that red dress.
They put her in that red dress
because,
and she did the hourglass fake. I mean, she deliberately,
she calls
it the bathing suit dress.
Yes, she was giving you Molly's game.
The Cinemax version of Jennifer Lawrence before we even knew who Jennifer
was.
Yeah,
of course. And also, you would have thought she took herself super seriously at the time.
Sure.
Which maybe she still does.
And so her publicist...
They called me and said, I think that's a misogynistic thing to say, which hurt my feelings, of course, because I love women.
Yeah. You are an actress sexual.
Yes.
Yes. But also, that's on them for putting stigma on sex work. So...
There you go, bitch.
Because I was going to say, you didn't even ask me if I thought call girls were awesome or not.
Yeah. Call girl. I hope you typed that right back. I hope you sent an email. I can feel from you that it was definitely like, I'm so deeply sorry. But I hope you had said, well, just so you know,
I've met
some call girls who earn their millions and go on to become philanthropists.
And also it shouldn't be illegal.
Exactly. There's no stigma.
No stigma.
Wow.
But I will say most of the time when I hear from people, it's positive.
Good. Great.
But, and I want to say this out to any actor, working actor out there.
We are listening too.
It's amazing when someone writes you to thank you for something you wrote.
Yes.
When it's happened to me, it's usually a non-famous person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, like, I'll be shouting someone out. This is an example. It didn't happen. But, like, the type of performance, exactly, like you brought up earlier, Betty Gabriel.
Yes.
Gabriel in Get Out.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So when I see a performance like that that's amazing and people don't know their name, I always make sure to mention the actor's name.
That's great.
That's awesome.
And sometimes you hear back. Every once in a while.
Everyone. Nice. Well, I will say this. And I talked about this on the last episode, but I watched Get Out again. Uh-huh. Isn't it
so much fun the second time?
Fantastic.
I showed it
to my parents too, and my dad really liked it. My mom was falling asleep, but she falls asleep for everything.
Sure.
But my dad really liked it, and I knew he would. And I was watching it again. Just those performances are impossible to give. It's such an ask of an actor to do that. For me, it's just so disappointing. And you talk about this when the SAG nominations come out, when they don't give a nomination and not
for
everyone.
For someone who shares a title card.
For someone who shares a title card.
The bill.
So for everyone out there, that's like saying, you know, just to say, like with this movie, it's like, of course, you know, they list all the actors and then it says, and Catherine Keener. And then every person that they haven't listed, like the first seven names, has to share a title card.
Betty Gabriel, like those folks.
And these actors, Lil Rel and Betty Gabriel, two, you know, performances that pivot the film, don't get to share in that ensemble nomination.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is with that? And will it change? And what do you think is going on in the heads of people if they know this is true and then put them on a title card with three other people? What is it?
Oh, that's why I've been such a crusader about this every year. I write about this because it makes me so angry.
Yes.
And I was, I interviewed, my brain's, Corey Stoll.
Fabulous.
Who was so amazing in Midnight in Paris, that Woody Allen movie. Yes. And I think his performance is a prime example of why they even got the SAG Ensemble nomination.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And he was on the second, with Woody Allen movies, it works different because everybody's listed together.
Right.
But if it's a big cast, they get a second page and the second page is not listed. So SAG has all these rules about it and all of the rules suck.
They do suck. Also because they're... When Orange is the New Black wins, you see 100 girls walk up on the stage. Meanwhile, like, Get Out, like, they have an ensemble of, what, 12? And you're only going to see 7 people.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's
crazy. They'll probably bring them up on stage, I'm guessing.
I would imagine, yes. Yeah.
But they still don't actually get
the actual
statue.
It's just stupid.
Unless they pay, like, $150 or something, maybe. Like in terms of, like, I think that's how Emmys work sometimes.
Well,
it's like,
literally, if you win an Emmy, you do have to pay for it.
Right.
Which I think actually...
You do?
I'm almost positive this is a thing across the board. Any hardware that you win at all, you pay for.
Mm.
And you pay to get it engraved and everything like that. You are an Oscar winner in that you won the Oscar, but to actually take it home, even the biggest movie stars, you have to pay like a couple hundred bucks to have it like engraved and everything. It's like when you get a class ring. You know what I mean? And like, it's $400. And you're like, oh, God, I have to get a class ring. I mean, it's a class ring. And then you wear it exactly one time.
And I just want everyone to know that I never bought into just that class ring bullshit. So there's some people who just see through
I did.
That. So anyway, yeah, but with that, I agree. And I feel like SAG does that weird thing where it's like you're only voting from like this already curated pool of nominees. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's not like, right? Like, isn't,
well, there's
am I not getting
a, there's
this process,
the nominating
right?
committee.
The nominating
they
committee.
They choose a couple random thousand people or whatever.
Right.
And then they decide, do they do like the sliding scale? What, like, how do they, like,
no, I think it's a straight vote
popular
for them.
Vote.
Yeah.
And then based on what they've decided, then everybody votes.
Sure, sure, sure.
Gotta tell you, it was so hard to vote for the television awards. So, as in Critics' Choice Awards, did you also vote for the TV stuff?
I don't actually.
Oh.
They originally had two separate awards bodies,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
and then they combined them, and, you know, they're following the Golden Globes model. So now it's like Critics' Choice Movie and Television Awards, but there's actually two separate bodies. There's the Broadcast Film Critics Association and the Broadcast Television Journalists
Association. I see. So without being, actually, be as shady as you want, what'd you think of their television selections?
Well, they were just rubber stamping the Emmy and
they
Globe
truly
choices.
Were. Wow. They truly were.
What's, I mean, so who won again?
But I'm okay with rubber stamping if it means Nicole Kidman, Anne Dowd, Alexander Skarsgård,
oh,
all those
so,
people.
You know, famously, great. I always said, ballot in my hand, gun to my head, I'll vote for Reese Witherspoon. I did, and I did vote for Nicole.
Wow. For SAG?
Yeah, I just thought about her like shivering on the ground. Like, I thought about her doing those scenes.
Like, how that must
and
have
I was
been
like,
so hard.
I don't know. That to me is like real achievement. And also, like, the conversation it started, like, of course, sure. Big Little Lies started as a whole, but, you know, it was really that performance that everyone was talking about at the end. And I thought to the place she had to go, I really respected that. And as an actor, I thought that would be really challenging for me to do. Whereas Reese, I think, is just giving you Reese a plus Reese Witherspoon performance,
sure,
which is enough for me. Usually,
it's enough for you for Reese to shout. What does she say to that crossing guard? I've been here longer. You haven't.
You're new here.
You're new.
I'm not.
Yeah, that's the line.
It's so good.
She's great in that.
Yeah.
And I even though you know I'm a major Nicole Kidman fan.
Yes, you are. Which I appreciate.
But I feel for Reese a little bit every time, mm-hmm. because that is one of her very best performances.
Absolutely. But you know what?
She's got that Oscar. She's fine. I mean, they all
do. She's got the Oscar, but you know.
I do want to keep going on Nathaniel's list of his favorite movies of this
year.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Not necessarily his top 10, because that's coming.
Yeah,
that's
but
for readers,
talk to but. Us. Like, what's in your heart you're passionate about this year?
Well, we already said Lady Bird,
Lady
Get
Bird.
Out.
Yes. Absolutely.
I'm a huge fan of the French movie BPM, Beats
which
per
I
minute.
Missed, which I missed when it was out in the city. And, like, I, you know, I haven't gone. Any screeners to speak
Yeah,
of,
we were
so.
Told by our friend that it was great.
Oh, my God.
And somehow it did not really win big at Cannes.
Right.
Yeah.
But Pedro Almodovar, through the grapevine, uh-huh. I've heard that he wanted that to win.
Really? Oh.
But members of his jury at Cannes were all about the Square, the Swedish Oscar submission.
I see.
So
okay.
Maybe there was a little argument. Who knows?
Right.
Sure, sure,
I
sure.
love a behind-the-scenes Almodovar argument. No, so BPM is actually not in question for foreign language
It's
film?
Already been kicked out because, you know, that for foreign language film, they narrow it down to 9 before it becomes the 5 nominees.
So it wasn't even in the top 9 for people.
Which upset me greatly.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because it's amazing.
I hear there's like such a truthfully depicted sex scene. I was just reading about this and I was like, oh, I have to go see this. Not because it's like smutty, but not because I've of any of my own smutty thoughts, but just because it's like, oh, I need to see that.
Yeah. I mean, we were told that it was great. So also isn't first. First they Kill My Father, the Angelina Jolie movie, that's also not
that
in
also fell off the list too.
So interesting.
Wow.
There's always drama, which we'll never hear about for
right,
that category
sure.
because they have executive committees, they have nominating committees,
how
they have all these
interesting.
Things.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! So what is the most bullshit esoteric thing about the Academy? Like in your opinion, just having followed this all these years. What would you say is your biggest gripe?
What's the qualm?
Yeah, what's the biggest qualm?
There's so many.
Well,
it's a lot of bullshit.
Come on.
But one of the qualms is that you don't have to, you don't have to see the things before voting.
Right. Of course. Look, I get it. No, read me to Phil for it. I mean, honestly, I deserve it.
irresponsible.
So that's one of the problems. Uh-huh. Another one is that like the consistency, you know, I'm a big on consistency. You have to be the same every year so that people can value you as a tradition.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I don't understand why makeup and hairstylists are so disrespected. They only get 3 nominees and everybody else gets 5.
Wild. You're right.
It's so wild. Also, sometimes they do that with original song too. They'll just decide. Not anymore,
but they did.
Three.
Yeah,
yeah, they did for a little while there.
What's it at now? Did it get back up to 5? Okay, great.
It's 5. But then sometimes you can't even think of 5 songs from movies. Like, it's getting so weird. It's not like back in the day where My Heart Will Go On was also a mainstream hit.
Right.
You know what
I
mean? Now it's like, I looked at the list of potential nominees and it was like the Taylor Swift song from 50 Shades Darker.
Oh,
and I was
sure.
No thanks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Might mean she's doing an
Oscar. She might become an Oscar nominee, bitch. Like, I would say no thanks.
Yeah, sure.
But when
sure.
Sam Smith won an Oscar, I gave up on that category forever, actually.
Wow.
That was traumatic.
Traumatic!
Especially since it followed that, I don't want to throw shade because I'm not a singer, but he was off-key the whole performance,
it
and then he
rough.
Won the Oscar.
Right. It was rough. And also,
and for him to win over Gaga.
For him to win over Gaga after literally their fists are in the air.
And she like, brings out all these campus assault victims. You're like, campus rape assault, sexual assault victims.
Yes.
You're like, what a moment, like, what a...
It was also a much better song.
So much better.
And also...
Diane Warren, who
is overdue, right? Never won an Oscar.
Never. Won.
Never.
And she's in like 7, 8 nominations, something like that.
Many,
oh my God.
Many.
Can
and also
believe?
The writer of so many classic songs from films.
But it's fucking Sam Smith, and then just saying that he was the first fucking winner. Oh my God. What a fucking horrible...
The first gay man to win an Oscar.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That is so funny.
What a perfect shitstorm of bullshit. I don't know.
So that was... I think because that happened, they read the wrong name of the Best Picture winner. Like... Karmically, the whole universe was thrown off, and nothing good could happen.
It was a butterfly effect from that.
I do think so.
Wow.
But for me, it's like, tell me some insight about this because I think it's getting better. But I think the biggest bullshit thing about the Academy is like the actual makeup of the Academy
being
one thing. It's so white and so male and so straight.
But they've actually like those initiatives they set in place. They've really been changing it.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So they like it's expanded already from like 6,000 to I think 9,000 members.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. All in the past like few years.
Wow.
Huh.
And when you see the list, there's still like a lot of, you know, white men
brought
into the Academy every year, but it's like a much, much larger percentages and the balance is much different in the new members.
Yeah. Sure. I did notice that there seemed to be a lot more young women and more people of color every year on the list, which does mean that there's a concerted effort.
Right. Which counts for something.
Yeah, but I think I might have found this out from your site, and this is something I cite a lot. The average age of a Best Actress Oscar winner is 29, or it was the year Natalie Portman won.
It is still
and
correct.
Yes,
wow. I posted that. People did not believe me, and I'm like, girl, I did the research.
He's done the work.
And what is it for men, Best Actor? 50?
There was not an exact, like, the most Best Actresses had won at 29. The men, there was a few different but it was basically a range in your 40s or late 30s.
Right.
And I think this is what you, this just goes to what you are saying about Timothy, is that his chances are kind of all over the place because just they're not gonna really like reward someone so young.
Especially because you make an excuse, which is they have their whole career ahead of them.
Right. But why doesn't that apply to the fucking the New York girls every year? You know, like that's
because they'd rather see them on stage looking good.
Right.
I think that's what it. You might have even been the one that said this, but it's what I pulled from it. But it's men that they see themselves in and that are their friends, and women that they want to fuck.
Listen, I knew. Speaking of men, that you know the issues that men bring to looking at other men.
Yes. Right.
I knew Michael Fassbender was not going to be nominated for Shame in the year that he wasn't nominated, which everybody else predicted.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, bitch, I sat at those tables and I heard the Academy members, because I go to all these luncheons.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
I heard them talking. The only thing they would ever talk about is his penis.
Really?
Interesting. So these were men?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was not in a like, wow, what a penis.
His penis was certainly in the film.
it was just like they were obsessed with it. And I think they were put off obsessed with it.
I get it. Yeah.
No, and I'm like, they're not going to nominate him. It's all these men.
Yeah. And that was an indicator for you. You were like, oh, this inverted male gaze of like, or just invert. It's still the male gaze of just like, oh, a penis? No. Well, was like that, like you clocked that at that point?
Yeah, I did probably. Not predict him. Everybody else did. I'm like, it's not going to happen. I heard. And then when George Clooney introduced him with that whole like, you know, like talking about his like,
Like
his penis as a golf club or something. God. It was so weird. It was at the Globes. Do you guys remember this?
I think I do. Like, I feel like I'm always like, oh, they're drunk. It's the Globes. Right, but like, right. It can't have like hung in the air as a nice thing. Hung right. in the air. Little joke.
Oh, wow.
But also like, it's this thing that happens all the time, which I hate, which is happening again this year. You know, not saying he's not deserving, but Gary Oldman is known as overdue. And so, like, when they feel like they've messed up before, HPJ's shaking his goddamn head. He doesn't think Gary Oldman deserves it, do you? No. Who would you vote for, Timothy?
Because according to Nathaniel in the prediction index, the only two locks for best actor are Timothy and Gary, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, great. And then the other three are.
I voted for Daniel Kaluuya for best actor.
And then I guess the other big contenders are Daniel Day-Lewis, and then
because it's sort of up in the air.
Yeah,
like I think a lot of them have a really really good shot. I just don't want to say they're locked.
Well, sure,
exactly. Because there's more than three of them besides Timothy and Gary. Mm-hmm,
yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes.
And I don't like. I think Daniel Kaluuya is probably safe.
Right.
Yeah, I think so.
But the other three, it's like sure.
Is Daniel Day-Lewis.
Tom Hanks.
What the fuck is going on with the Post?
I don't know. And
the Post is all over the place.
Yeah, I likened it today to like a roller coaster.
Yeah,
and you're climbing the roller coaster, and everybody's like, "It's gonna win everything."
Yeah.
And then as soon as you start descending, people are screaming, "It's losing everything!"
Yeah, wow.
It's like this very like.
Although when it comes to Best Actress, like Frances. Yawn, sort of.
I just feel like we've seen it a million times.
I know, but that whole movie, I was like so not on board with the Post until it's that shot that like just like goes in on Meryl and she's on the phone and she's like, let's do it. I'm butchering it, but it's. I mean, that was when I like the whole movie came together for me. And I was like, wow, and it was thrilling. And so I feel like Frances never really gave you that.
There needs to be. Look, I think Frances McDormand is incredible.
Incredible.
Like I said, I'm still haven't seen it, but I just know that I've seen it before. But the thing is, that's not fair. That's really not fair. And I also want to say, like,
this is all over the place. Where are you going with this?
Because I'm nervous to say this next thing.
Okay, say it.
I voted for Margot Robbie.
Oh.
Because I fucking love I, Tonya, and we are sitting here at a table with someone who really, really, I would even go as far as to say.
Hates?
Totally dislikes and maybe even hates I, Tonya.
Hates strongly.
You think it's Lifetime trash.
I think it's trash. I think it's rewriting history trash. Yeah. And I'm not there for it.
You're not there for it. I voted for Margot and Allison.
The pendulum is swinging back a little bit. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like
it's everywhere right now, that movie.
And today Nancy Kerrigan sort of quote unquote broke her silence, made her come. She's like, I didn't see it. I'm busy living my life. But it's like I thought about this too. I was like, it is sort of fucked up that like she was.
I saw you like that status.
She was on, you know, just pretty unequivocally the victim in that situation, and for I mean, yeah, it's whatever. It's a nuanced portrayal of poverty blah blah blah, and like, but for it's got to be weird for her to be like, wait, what the fuck?
I think this was Tonya Harding's story, and it was very stylized. Like, the movie is incredibly stylized. Uh-huh. And also, the movie literally says, there is no such thing as truth.
Right.
And so, like, yeah, I can get being salty about the movie. I get like, not, you know, wanting to retread it. But she, I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, my read on Nancy Kerrigan is that she kind of, like, I don't want to hang out with her.
Okay, well,
I don't want to hang out with her. I don't want to see her at the barbecue. I don't want to see her at an event, honey. I don't know. I know. Because guess what? You know she wants to go home. It's like, if you're not trying to make this event fun, I don't want to stand with you here and have a gin and tonic.
I also liked I, Tonya, but I'm curious to hear Nathaniel's thoughts.
Well, he thinks it's trash.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't really want to belabor the point because there's way too much negativity when people talk about Oscar stuff.
But you know what? Get into it because like because I get toxic too.
And this is part of your job, I would say. It's to have that eye.
Well, no, it's just what bothers me about it is I really think it wants its cake and eating
yeah,
it
yeah,
too.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's like one the cake goes in one way and then spits it out. And I was like, what are you doing? Because it's like, domestic abuse is so funny. And then it's like, no, it's so tragic. And I was like, you need to decide what your point of view is.
Okay. See, this is an interesting thing. I never once thought they were trying to make it look funny. Yeah. I thought they were trying to make it look every day,
Matt and I,
it was to her.
Matt and I saw it in a theater that did not ever laugh at
no it wasn't a it wasn't a comedy to this audience. And like I don't know, I think it's these character these categorizations that come in and have to happen, like calling this a comedy and this one a drama and this whatever. It's just like, I think that, and even in this interview Tanya Harding did with ABC the other night, she said that when she was watching the movie she was laughing her ass off at Tanya Harding says specifically about Allison Janney's performance. She's like, oh my God, it was so real. Every time, that's what it was. And she kind of was just like, that's what it was. That was my mother. She's like, Allison Janney did my mother. Wow. That was her. Hmm. And it was just like, this is someone who, then they asked her, like, what are your qualms with the movie? And she was like, well, I certainly never cursed at the judges. Like, those are her problems with it. Like, yeah. But she stands by it. And so I guess I trust her in terms of like it being her account of her own story. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I'm also giving her too much credit. She is like famously a felon.
Well, it is called I, Tanya.
This is
so
true.
So in that way, it is her, you know, you have to take it with a grain of salt because it's right. her vision.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think maybe I wouldn't have become so incensed with the movie if they weren't trotting her out as this hero, like this folk hero or something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, her friends, and I think maybe she knew it, even though she won't admit it, violently attacked another woman. And we're just going to ignore that because it's fun to rehabilitate people's images.
Totally. Yeah. And why did she have Nancy's training schedule written down? Why did she have that written down?
We need I, Nancy.
Absolutely. Who would play
we
her?
We need I, Nancy.
Let's all three of us cast someone different, or we can all agree on the same
Wait,
person.
Hold on. No, because I don't want to say the wrong person. Oh.
Oh, someone's coming.
You know
coming.
Who would be good? Michelle Monaghan.
Okay.
She's a little old now, I guess.
But I know that could
she
work.
She
looks like her.
But what's that kind of like severe sort of like, I would say, no.
You know what? You know what would have been perfect? A young, this sounds awful, a younger Brooke Shields.
Right? I don't know about that. I don't know like about that.
I just, in terms of resemblance. not because of prestige.
Girl, she's
or anything.
Got those famous brows. Nancy Kerrigan don't have those brows.
They just have like nice, I don't know. Faces.
You have an interesting take.
Anyway.
That's like when they cast Jennifer Hudson in Dreamgirls. Everyone was like, what? And then she won an Oscar. Maybe Brooke Shields would have won an Oscar
Brooke
for
Shields
playing Nancy
an Oscar.
K.
Nathaniel, any ideas?
I flashed immediately, and I am not pleased with myself, but I flashed immediately to Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis.
I literally
and
thought
Mila
and Mila. And Mila.
They both play the role. It's like a black swan thing that you superimpose it onto Nancy Kerrigan's body while she's skating.
Mila to me is too black swan to play Nancy, but Natalie, I get, and then honestly, I think if this is like five, maybe 5 years ago, maybe closer to 10, and she's big, I think Amy Adams plays Tanya.
Oh yeah,
and wins an Oscar.
Sure,
I think
we need a nine Nancy.
We need a nine Nancy.
We do,
and we can get Amy in a supporting role, and she could win.
Sure.
That's a frustrating case, Amy Adams.
Yeah, because she's not going to win lead actress at this point.
I don't think she will.
Ever?
Well, I mean, the Julianne Moore thing, which was a big thing for me, and I had to mention it every day for months after it happened.
Yes.
By the way, ending every article, even unrelated, by the way, Julianne Moore is now an Oscar
winner. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's huge news.
Because she was only the second woman in her 50s ever to win Best Actress.
Yes, and since when? Like, after...
Since the 50s. Since the 50s. With Shirley Booth, Come Back, Little Sheba.
Come Back, Little Sheba. Yeah, I remember you... I remember you either writing about this or talking about this on some other program. What's the historical precedent for a younger male just like, I guess, a Best Actor winner.
The youngest Best Actor winner is Adrian Brody, right?
At 29 years
yeah.
old.
Yeah. And when was that? 90?
2002.
Oh, sorry.
2002,
yes,
yeah.
But then...
The yeah. year the Chicago won Best Picture.
Right. What was... There's some Best Actor, like, record that hasn't been broken since, like, 95 or something, right? Like, that has to do with Timothy. Maybe I'm making this up. Anyway, just to...
In terms of age.
Well, Timothy will be the third youngest ever nominated if he's nominated.
Got it. And
he will be.
You put that lock in.
I think he's a lock.
Yeah, but he'll be nominated. But yeah, he'll be the third youngest ever.
And I really thought I was going to check that box. But then after I saw Get Out, I was like...
Daniel.
For me, it's like... It's so hard to lead a horror movie like that, especially one like that. There's so much going on. When he started appearing in these awards, I was like, what? It's so weird. No one's ever even talked about him. And then you watch the movie and you're like, man, oh man, that guy's a real talent.
Oh yeah.
Well, really the whole cast, which I was really happy they got an ensemble name. It's a tricky tone.
Oh my God.
And they nail it.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah. They got my vote.
Oh my God.
I think everyone knows that. Like I said, I think there's something in Get Out to love across the board. And I had a really hard time deciding between Get Out and Lady Bird for that ensemble. And I said to myself, you know what? What do you really love about Lady Bird? The acting or the casting? And I think I loved the acting, but it was really the casting that made me laugh to you and be like, oh my God, this girl. Like Beanie Feldstein.
Or
like what genius casting. I mean, that girl is that girl.
Even, and I should know her name, but the actress who played the queen bee girl.
Odessa Young?
Yes. Yes. She is just, Matt and I were
perfect.
She was perfect for that role.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. Like Get Out just as a body of actors.
That's
in a
just
movie.
It almost was like a sport. You know what I mean? It was almost like you saw the actors all passing the ball back and forth. Like it was just so it was art.
Catherine, Josh.
And I think there's everyone across
Daniel,
the board.
Yeah.
I mean you mean Bradley Whitford.
Bradley, I keep
you
calling
said
Josh
because
of
West Wing.
Yeah. I was watching the Globes last week. My heart sank as the show went on. I was like, Get Out's not winning anything.
No, it's not. I don't think it was ever winning the Globes. I don't think Hollywood Foreign Press is going to get Get Out.
But I thought it just didn't bode well for its Oscar chances. Would you say?
It doesn't always correlate. Okay. And also, it's very American in its appeal and its themes. And,
yes.
And I don't know that that's always like that important in terms of whether Globes like something, but it does affect them. You know, on some level, it has to play into it.
Sure.
Right. Totally. There's always got to be something a little extra, I think, for the Hollywood Foreign Press. You know what I mean? There's got to be, like, an extra reason. Like, whether it's, like, extra sex appeal or, like, something's big or something's very stylish or something like that. You know what I mean? There just seems like they always, like, find room, even if it's, like, a quote-unquote, like, not such a great movie. Like, there's always a musical in that musical or comedy category. Like, you saw The Greatest Showman get a few nominations.
Oh my God. We were talking about Matt famously loved The Greatest Showman.
Well, I loved watching it. I didn't love the movie because it was good.
I went twice.
Yeah. Hell yeah, you did. When I was watching this, I think I cried four different times.
Okay.
When she's like, this is me.
This is interesting because are we applying the same rubric to The Greatest Showman as we are I, Tonya? And I'm asking you, Nathaniel, because to trot out P.T. Barnum as this, like, savior figure is ridiculous, right? Like, his first thing was to, like, he like, took this...
Enslave the elephants.
Or no, not even that. The elephants... tragic.
You know how intelligent they are, right?
Wasn't it one of his first things? Like, he literally... took an elderly black woman and said this was George Washington's slave and she's 180 something years
honestly,
old.
Honestly, it sounds
and
like...
And she died and then he vowed to give her a proper burial, but nope, just burned her, threw into her pit, you know, unmarked grave.
It sounds too insane to be made up, so I'm going to say it's probably true.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, but they're not... He's dead.
Yeah, he is long dead.
And they're not going to give him a round of applause at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, yeah, he's not going to come in and talk and everybody's like, you're amazing. Yeah. Like they did with Tonya Harding.
But Tonya Harding, I can't wait to see whatever gown she wears to the Oscars, honey. You know she's going to be presenting Best Cinematography alongside Margot Robbie. And Margot's going to be like, just want to say... This woman next to me, an iconic woman.
This is a Cockney Australian.
Fuck you. Okay. I never said I did accents well. I bring personality.
I feel like I feel like it's a biographical movie in the same way that I, Tanya is, and you guys went twice.
But musical biopics...
He went twice.
Musical biopics have never, ever been about the truth,
though. Oh, sure.
Though. They're always
just
like...
What do you mean,
like,
nine? That wasn't accurate? That Fergie didn't slay in real life?
Kate Hudson didn't...
Kate Hudson wasn't like...
Trot down.
Oh, God. Kate Hudson in Nine, one of the most ridiculous, fun performances ever. That performance was 80% hair.
It was.
Cinema, it's all you know. And she's like living for herself.
It was a fun movie. It made no sense.
This was so funny. So the whole cast of Nine did an interview on Oprah, like when the movie came out. And Oprah's
just
going,
laughed at that.
Oprah's scene. Going... And you have an Oscar. And you have an Oscar.
No.
And you have an Oscar. And then she goes to Kate Hudson and she goes, maybe this year. And Kate was like, mm-hmm. Because everyone knew that, like, her role as Stephanie in Nine, the reporter, wasn't the one that was going to, like, get her an Oscar. But
that was irresponsible of Oprah, to be honest.
100%.
Yeah.
That's a lot of irresponsible behavior from O. Yeah,
that's like in those trailers when they'll be like, Academy Award nominee, Academy yeah, Award yeah. nominee, Academy, and then it'll be like,
Golden Globe presenter.
Totally.
It's okay. So funny.
I feel like Kate's overdue for an Oscar.
Well, talk about someone with a Kate's lot of potential in the beginning who just fucking
know, right?
really showed her true colors in like Bride Wars.
Which came on the other day on TBS, and I was like, oh, this is a horrendous movie.
Who's over fucking due at this point, like
before Julianne Moore, like who is still in that little, you know?
I have one name and one name only I want to say.
Come on.
Michelle
Pfeiffer.
This has been well documented on our show.
I love Michelle.
Yep.
I mean, like, and I know you love Michelle. And this is why I connect with you, because literally every time he says he's
Kirsten
gagged for
Michelle.
Somebody, I'm like, yes, I am also gagged for that person.
That's correct. Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer, just one of the best.
Yeah, and please, every time I say favorite, please know I'm saying it with a PF.
Yes. So would you nominate her for Mother?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
She would be in my five this year.
Wow.
That was a little sneak peek of the film.
Maybe he won't even be able to resist and give her the gold.
Give her the gold. Give her the yellow, as Matt famously
said. Who's
the
front runner for Best Supporting Actress? I guess it's either Allison Janney or Ms.
Laurie. Who are both great.
Who are both wonderful and I think would make deserving winners. I went with Allison, but literally it was the hardest one. It was the hardest one to vote for. But I voted for Allison because I felt like it was a character, and I felt like it needed a little bit more invention than I thought Laurie did, though I really respect the relationship they were able to achieve.
Well, yeah, and it's like what you're saying with Allison in Get Out. It's like the movie doesn't really work without Laurie's performance.
And I guess the thing is, like, at that point, because they were both so good, I just did pick the actress I liked better and wanted to see win, and that was Allison Janney. I think she's...
Well, sometimes you have to toss the coin.
Sometimes you
gotta.
Yeah,
sure. Is that what you're doing in this category, or no?
No, I have a favorite.
Okay.
You do have a favorite, but you can't reveal.
Okay.
You must not reveal.
But I usually have, like, ties for the fifth spot, and then I have all this agony that I put myself through to, like, decide who is the nominee and who's not.
Sure.
So what say you regarding Tiffany Haddish and the Oscars?
I hope she's nominated.
Me too.
I laughed so fucking hard in the movie theater.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite movie going experiences of the year.
Definitely.
Wow.
Like, I went in the Upper West Side and the theater was packed.
Yeah.
And there are all these women of color and all these gay men.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
And it was so fun. Everybody was like dancing practically in their seat.
Honestly, it did feel as fun as when I saw
Bridesmaids. Yeah. Sure.
It felt that fun. I don't know if it was that actually funny, but it felt like that vibe.
It was like, you were just like, I mean, there's some sort of transportative thing about like Tiffany Haddish peeing from like a zip line, and you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Like, I felt like I was in some way like there.
For me,
I was like, you know?
What I always say, and I think you agree with this, and I think this might resonate with you too, it's like, when you're talking about giving a performance an Oscar, I think that it should be really hard to imagine someone else doing it. You know what I mean?
I like, that's a good rule of thumb.
That should be the rubric. It's like, like this performance, are they just doing their job and acting it well, which is what they're supposed to do? Or is this something that's really special, probably couldn't have been done like this by someone else? Is it a special movie-going experience because of the combination of this role and this performer?
And Tiffany just sort of operated on a different level than anyone else in that movie.
I was with her for like the line reading of Booty Hole.
Booty Hole, yes, that's what I'm saying.
I couldn't, from then on in the movie, I was like with her 100%.
Yeah, that's so funny. She became a star when she said, "It's a booty hole."
It's a booty hole.
And yeah. I remember I saw the trailer for the movie and I literally turned to my friend and I'm like, the line in the script was, "It's a booty hole."
She made it work.
But she made it funny.
She made it funny.
Like, no. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. I just think, and everyone's saying, you know, it's not going to happen. She's not showed up for any precursors, et cetera, et cetera. She won that first big award, Los Angeles Film Critics, right? She did win LA or was it New York? It was LA.
New York.
It was New York.
It was New York.
She won New York. Mm-hmm. And then everyone thought, oh my God, here we go. We're getting a Tiffany Haddish Oscar season.
And then Globes didn't happen.
Globes didn't happen. SAG didn't happen. Yeah. But I think that's because they voted early, and I don't know. I just think there's more. I think there's more possibility than we think. I think it would be a much better nomination than Octavia Spencer. It's so boring.
Sure. I mean, Octavia. I mean, we love Octavia.
I love Octavia as a person, as an actress, yes. But when they don't give you anything, it's like that Ruby Dee nomination. It's like, really? You know what I mean?
Well, I do want to say this about Octavia, because she's so... When she got the standing ovation when she won the Oscar.
Yes.
Which, at first I was like, why is she getting a standing ovation?
Because she's beloved.
Like a fairly new actor, but I've met her a few times since.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've heard a lot of stories. She is like the nicest person.
Oh, yeah.
Alive.
100%.
Yep.
And I had written this little thing about, my theory is she's the Thelma Ritter of this generation.
Yeah, I've heard you say this. Yeah.
And because she brings all this like great earthiness to every part.
Yes. Yep, always.
And it just adds the right texture to movies.
Yeah.
And... You know, I was interviewing her for Shape of Water, and I mentioned, I have this theory about you, and she knew, she had read it.
Yeah.
And she was like, I am so flattered by that. And she went on about being so flattered and Thelma Ritter. And we talked about Hollywood history and how she and Viola Davis were changing the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I think this would be her third Oscar nomination, which is a lot. And I just think she's been nominated twice, like, pretty rightfully.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we need this other nomination when there's other women in the conversation who could potentially have game-changing nominations, and it just might be a little bit more exciting and deserved based on the material they were given.
God, I hope so.
And she's already a record holder.
She is. Because
she's the first Black actress to be nominated after winning.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Goodness.
I didn't clock that fact.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I thought it had to do with, I mean, this sounds shitty. I thought it had to do with age and race, just the nomination.
She's the first
after
one after winning to actually be nominated after having already claimed
the trophy. Because Jennifer Hudson missed it for Secret Life of Bees.
Well, who knows? Maybe. Well, I do hope that someone throws her a bone and gives her a role that is not a period movie.
Well, she was in Fruitvale Station. Did you see Fruitvale Station?
I heard she was great in Fruitvale, but I'm just saying, like, it feels like it's her thing. And even I think she even sort of bemoans that in an interview. She's like, well, I keep getting these roles of, you know, these motherly black women in period films. And I was like, oh yeah, like, she deserves so much better than that.
Definitely. Anyway. I think that it'll be interesting to see how it keeps playing out. I'm just like excited that she keeps getting the work, because so many times we see it happen. Yeah, they feel like, especially in that supporting actress category, it's so bizarre what happens to so many of those women. It's just like they have this moment and then they kind of just don't work. It's so strange.
It just disappears like mist.
You hear about why now with like Mira Sorvino, which is so sad.
God.
But, you know, speaking of the Weinstein thing, which is very much the reason for that, I think that's another reason why we could see the whole show change. I'm very interested to see how they address it. It's no secret that he owned that show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I think, especially with Moonlight last year, I think we're going to see a lot of cool wins. I really do. I'm hoping for it.
And I can't wait for Nathaniel's book on this year.
There will be a book.
Oh, I do want to say really quickly, Octavia. Do you know that Octavia Spencer and Melissa McCarthy were, like, best friends?
Yeah.
Like, they've, like,
They were on which late night show were they on together? I think it was
Jimmy Kimmel. It was when Melissa was guest hosting Kimmel.
Yes,
and they were talking about how years and years and years ago they did like little bit parts on like sketch on like Weird Al's show and stuff. And it's cool. It's just like
it is cool.
Oh wow, like they're. You know, like, what a cool trajectory.
Well, it's interesting because it's interesting now to kind of be fully in the industry. You know what I mean? Like, making your way in. And then your friends, like, we're also friends with Rachel Bloom. So now we know two Rachel B's who have won Best Actress Comedy
at the Globes.
Yeah.
And not too far apart. So I'm putting it in the atmosphere on this podcast. Rachel Brosnahan, come do our show.
Hi.
We will lay out the carpet. Listen, let's talk about this. Who are the rising stars that you think we should be looking at? Because you also, every year, you kind of point out some people that have broken through without giving anything away, but actually exactly giving it away. tell us, who are your breakouts this year?
Oh, God.
You know, it's an on-the-spot question.
It's not really.
Okay.
And I would normally have so many to list, but I...
Well, Timothy.
Well, yeah, he's the obvious one.
Yeah, right.
I will say I started a big project where I'm... You know, I always talk about actresses.
Yes.
So I thought, I'm going to throw a curveball.
Okay.
And I'm going to do a list of 100 actors under 30.
Oh, my God.
That people should pay attention to.
Wow.
And I've already started crafting the list.
Okay. Is it called Spotlight on Men?
But it was interesting because I started it, ages ago because it's a lot of work.
So much work. Yeah.
And I had, Timothy in there before the movie came out.
Oh.
And stuff. Now I wish I had started it really earlier and, really been on top of it.
Listen, there's going to be some others. There's going to be other people to be ahead of the curve on, to be prescient about. But when can we expect this?
Well, it'll have to wait till after the Oscars.
That's fine.
That big.
Did you watch Homeland?
Yes.
Because he was on Homeland. He played, the snotty son of... I think he played the vice president's kid.
Oh, okay.
Or something. And then, you know, in the show, he ends up getting fucking incinerated.
Oh, poor guy.
Because that show liked to throw curveballs with its big terrorist moments.
Right.
But yeah, he was on that show and he was on that show and he kind of broke out as an actor to watch. And then there was, what's his face from the movie Brooklyn? The lead actor of Brooklyn with Saoirse. What's his name?
Oh, Emery Cohen.
Emery Cohen. He was on Smash. Which, did you watch Smash?
I did.
He was horrible on Smash. Bad.
I never saw
it. And when I found out that he was this actor everyone was talking about, I'm like, the fucking waste from Smash? And then you watch Brooklyn and you're like, wow, he's great. I don't know. Maybe it was just Smash.
Well, it's almost like there's a perfect role for everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you, as an actor, your job is to just find it so that you can have a career.
100%. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Like Jennifer Lawrence, honestly.
Sure.
With
Struck Gold.
But also Jennifer Lawrence, I feel like she kind of found her niche three different times. Like she really hit her dramatic moment in Winter's Bone. Everyone was like, that's who she is. And then when she was in Hunger Games being a teen sort of icon, they're like, oh, that's who she is, big movie star. And then also this weird kind of comedy character actress thing she does. And they're like, oh,
American
no,
Hustle.
That's who she is. Yeah, exactly. So to see the American Hustle performance and the Winter's Bone performance and, of course,
Hunger
her big Hunger Games and her, of course, Oscar-winning romantic comedy role in Silver Linings. She actually is pretty versatile, but also... Try to imagine her doing a British accent.
Please no.
Please
I won't.
It's like people were like, who's the next Meryl? Everyone was like, Jayla, it's Jennifer. Jennifer Lawrence. And I was like, literally try to imagine her doing a British accent. But then here she is in this new movie doing a Russian accent. So.
I think we know it's Saoirse Ronan. Because her American accent is flawless.
Flawless.
It's very good. It's very
also,
good.
Also, you can always tell who is actually talented when they slay SNL.
Yes, and she was very good. She was very good.
This is actually rule of culture number 41, which I'll say it and then we'll say it together.
Okay.
When they're scared to host SNL, it's a red flag.
Rule number culture number 41. When they're scared to host SNL, it's a red flag. You know who's great at it? Natalie Portman.
Great host.
Great host.
Also, Scarlett Johansson, always a great host.
Yes.
You know who's never hosted Saturday Night Live? This actually floored me when I realized this. Sandra Bullock.
Oh,
really? Never hosted SNL. You'd think she'd be all over that.
She'd be great. You'd think she would be a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Think.
Thoughts on Sandra?
I enjoy her.
Sure.
In limited capacities.
Sure, sure, sure. Uh-huh.
Once a year in a romantic comedy,
absolutely.
Sure.
Thoughts on her Oscar-winning turn in The Blind Side?
Well, I really wanted it to be Gabby Sidibe that year.
That was my vote, too. Yeah.
Because Tilda Swinton was not nominated that year for Julia, which I knew wasn't going to happen. It was a very obscure small movie.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You are a Tilda gay,
I am.
Michael Clayton, that got me. I don't think I was a Tilda fan before that. I think I knew her from like the Narnia movie.
Right.
And then, have you seen Michael Clayton?
I've never seen Michael
Clayton. Bowen.
Sorry.
Michael Clayton is really good.
When I watched her in Brockovich the other week, came up in the you might also like, and I was like, really?
You might also like.
But I'm just, what an interesting.
Tilda in that movie, you're going to love Tilda in that movie because she's so like there's a scene, the meeting of her character is her giving this speech to like the board,
mm-hmm.
but then there's flashbacks while you're hearing it to her like ironing her clothes and like really like obsessively putting herself together, and like it's just such a good it's a performance that the director loves.
That's great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do want to ask Nathaniel.
Go.
Sort of a modified version.
Now's your chance.
Of the question of the show.
Right, right, right.
Which is usually, what is the culture that made you think culture was for you? But if you can drill down into this, of like, what was the moment or thing that made you like just become just so obsessed with awards or just with film? No, just with film, not even awards. But like, what was the thing for you, just like either growing up or even in your adult life, that like made you dive into that?
I mean, my answer for this is the same as it would be for the regular question without the awards.
Okay,
slant,
great.
Because right, it all came through that.
Yep.
I will say, this is dating myself. I'm an old for people listening.
He's an old. We can confirm.
I'm kidding.
So when I saw the first time I ever, like, I didn't know anything about the Oscars. My family was not into movies.
Uh-huh.
And I was actually banned at the dinner table from talking about movies.
What?
My father would not let me talk about movies.
Because you wouldn't stop?
Because I wouldn't stop once I started. So it made this rule when I was a little kid. He was like, you cannot talk about movies.
What movies were you talking about as a kid?
I don't even know. Like, probably some Disney.
Yeah, sure.
So, but I saw this TV guide with, like, Oscar on the cover and E.T. and Gandhi and all these things. Mm. I'm like, what's the shiny man?
Good year, too.
So it was 1982 when I first noticed the Oscar statue, and I was like, what's this about? And I had seen E.T., of course.
Yes,
kid.
Of course.
And then I made my parents take me to Gandhi because I saw it on the cover of this thing.
Because you had to be a completist even at that age.
Even at that age. As soon as I saw the statue.
Yes.
It was like this shiny figure I must have.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like when think about that. E.T. and Gandhi were being looked at like, which one?
Which one? Which one? Oh, but it was literally just the image of the statue. Mm-hmm. That like
well
just...
yeah and with those five because they had the five best pictures or whatever and I don't think I watched the Oscars that year. I was like young, but I was just like, what is this?
Sure
Because I remember a couple of things from 1983, like or I guess 1984, the following year's Oscars.
Right
But that's a big pet peeve of mine, by the way. You need to call it by the year of the movies in question, not by the year.
Not by the year they were given out.
That's the 2017 Oscars.
These are the 2017 Oscars.
Exactly.
Yeah, not the 2018 Oscars, people.
Come on. That's amateur.
It's very much amateur hour.
I think for us, because Matt and I will always say that, like, just
97 Titanic.
That
was
just
when
it just blew, like, just... That was just like an amazing ceremony where you were like,
I cried when she didn't win Best Actress.
Yeah,
poor thing.
Because I didn't understand that she absolutely shouldn't. You know what I mean? Like,
well, wait, because who won that year? I should know.
Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
I can't.
You can't with Helen Hunt.
I can't with that year's Best Actress race.
No,
but anyway,
pretty tough. Pretty
should have been Helena Bonham Carter for Wings of the
Dove. Wow. Honestly, there's no better performance in the world than going to Gringotts and Wizarding World and seeing Helena Bonham Carter pop out of the wall and try to kill you. I will say that. What's the theme park Oscar? Give her something for that.
For
because
Bellatrix.
Let me tell you something. She gets up in your grill, honey, and with a wand and her hair like that, you don't want to see that.
No.
It's so scary.
And you know who's even better than Helen Hunt also that you're not nominated? Julia? Fucking Roberts
for
in My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yes! 100%! To me, it's like, Julia Roberts in it's so weird that her only nomination for being in romantic comedy was Pretty Woman. Because it's like she improved on that several times. Yeah. It's like Notting Hill even. Yeah.
That scene in the stadium when she goes by and she's like, I got moves you've never seen.
Iconic.
It's amazing.
Also, or even at the gazebo.
I'm sorry, but I have to read her for filth. Shonda Rhimes stole
Pick Me, Choose Me, Love Me.
Pick Me, Choose Me, Love Me from that movie. It's stolen. It's lifted.
It's lifted from
from that scene.
Marry Me.
Marry Me. Let me make you happy.
That's amazing.
That sounds like two questions.
And even just going into the bathroom to chase down Cameron. I mean, what a great exchange. Oh my God.
Just the way that Julia Roberts gets it. Here's the information from Rupert Everett that, like, who's chasing you? No one. She's like, in her face, she just, like, realizes how crazy she is and, like, that he's right.
And so also, this started one of my biggest pet peeves. Rupert Everett was not nominated for that movie.
I know.
They don't respect the gays when the gays play gays.
No, they don't.
Thank you. And instead, we're going to fucking instead jack off to Armie Hammer.
Yeah, exactly. And also, what do you think of Call Me By Your Name?
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
But I wish gay actors would get to play 100%. Gay parts.
Thank you. Do you think that Armie Hammer is miscast in that movie? Are you of that thought in that train? Camp, yeah. Or are you liking him in the movie?
I'm sort of in between.
Okay.
I mean, he's not the draw of the movie for me. It's all about Timothée.
It's all Timothée. Yes.
Timothée.
I will say this. If someone else did that role that was a little bit better cast for it, I think we'd be a lot more excited about
Armie's,
it.
Armie's role?
Not that I have a problem with Armie Hammer himself. I just think he looks too old to... I don't know. I think the age difference in that movie, just to me...
It wasn't... Yeah.
It doesn't
read for me.
It
wasn't the age difference to me. It was just like the...
chemistry?
And just the aloofness of that character, the way that he's written in the book. And not that it's, you know, gospel to stick to the book at all, but... As I've said on this show, mm-hmm. the movie is good film, but not good adaptation. That's my
position. Guess that you have to decide which how much doesn't that matters really, to you.
Which yeah, which I was gonna say doesn't super count for anything at all.
Right.
I don't know.
So it's interesting sometimes to you read the book first, right?
Read the book and you know my story about this. It's coming back to New York from Thanksgiving, finished the book on the plane, like within seconds of us touching down. And I was like, I have to go see this tonight. I have to go.
Because you were very moved by the book.
I was so moved by the book. And I was like, I have to go. And of course it wasn't going to live up to the book and like, you know, the emotional sort of contours of the book. And so I just went to the theater and I was like, this was bad. What a bad film. And it just ruined the whole thing for me. Yeah.
You didn't like it. You're a part of the Whisper Network.
HPJ is raising his hand.
I've never spoken on this podcast, but I have a question for it.
Yes. Do you want to come on the mic, babe?
Come on the mic.
Come over here. Join.
I'm sorry.
Now what's going on?
So, I'm sorry. Nathaniel, what's the greatest Oscar snub of all time?
Oh.
This is good. I want to get into these general questions, yes. Forget Call Me By Your Name. We've had this fucking conversation.
You mean winning or not nominated?
Not nominated.
You must have a stock answer for this. Maybe you don't. But I feel
Kirsten Dunst, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I have, I do have stock answers for this, and I'm going blank.
That's okay.
My biggest, I do want to say, sure. And I know I'm all like beating a dead horse.
Mm-hmm. Please.
The worst snub ever for me for the win, Michelle Pfeiffer and Fabulous Baker Boys.
Yeah, for sure. And that was who won that year instead?
Jessica Tandy and Driving Miss Daisy.
Who fucking cares? Oh my God. Who fucking cares? I can be snarky in the back of a car. I really can.
Because the answer I had originally prepared for the what made you know culture was for you was Michelle Pfeiffer on the Piano Top in Fabulous Baker Boys, 1989.
Amazing answer.
Seared into my brain to such an extent that I could not stop thinking about movies from then on, basically.
No, yeah. Oh, I mean, huge. That's iconic image. I mean, the fact that she doesn't have, like, something... It's so strange.
And she won everything leading up to the
Oscar. Yeah, it's so bizarre.
Oh, interesting.
They didn't have as many awards back then.
Sure.
But she won all the major film critics awards, like the Golden Globe, everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was just on the
fucking Jessica.
Yeah, she was on the red carpet with David E. Kelly, and they were like, when are we going to get her apart? And in Big Little Lies. And she was just like, I mean, I'm so much better than all of this. It's so insane.
She is, talk about someone who is just like, Hollywood aloof, like just when they cut to her when Big Little Lies won,
she was just unbothered.
She was like, cool. She was like,
I have a story that I must share.
Please.
About like Hollywood and even going back to Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Okay. So
I was invited to the premiere of The Story of Us. Now, you have to go way back in the time machine. It's like 99 or something like that. And so I get there, and they had had some sort of mix-up. So it was like, are you going to get into the theater or not?
Oh.
But they had, this was the Ziegfeld, which is now closed. Sad.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, and it was like the best place for premieres in New York because they actually had room to have like the limos pull up and all that stuff.
Yeah, they could roll it out.
So all the stars were showing up, like Bruce Willis and Michelle Pfeiffer and all those people. And every single time, so I ended up plastered against the window of the theater because it's huge. It used to be this huge window so you could see all the stars when the red carpet stuff.
Yeah.
And every single blonde woman that came in, these fucking bitches standing around me were like, it's Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would be like, how did I miss
heart
her?
Attack.
I'm like, how did I miss her when I'm like her biggest fan?
Yeah.
And funny, this one woman was like, it's Michelle Pfeiffer. I'm like, that is Oksana Bayul.
How are you going to confuse a
that
skater?
That is Oksana Bayul. That's rule number
how
96 of culture.
That is Oksana Bayul. Not Michelle.
Not Michelle Pfeiffer.
How dare.
She is a miniaturized half version of Michelle Pfeiffer at best.
Any blonde that walked in, they would shout, it's Michelle Pfeiffer.
Fuck that.
That's
abusive.
That's racist.
Yeah.
As a person of color, I can say with authority, that's racist.
Yeah, that is racist.
Oh, my God. Well,
wait, hold on. Does this make you mad? Crash winning an Oscar for Best Picture?
Oh, that was actually one of my more famous moments as a pundit.
Yes.
I got a lot of people on the online talking about how enraged I was.
Yeah.
And
it's
somebody
a low point.
somebody even called me a self-loathing homosexual.
Oh my God.
Because I was so upset, and why is he taking it so personally?
No, you would be a self-loathing homosexual for rooting for Crash over Brokeback, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, that was what a dumb thing for them to say. Yeah. Honestly, that was truly stupid.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think that made me say, okay, I'm not putting as much stock in this anymore. Like, it's not
the illusion was broken.
I guess it was the first time I realized the world isn't fair. Was when Brokeback lost.
Why do good things happen to bad movies?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
That's the
That might even
question.
Be the title of this episode.
Why do good things happen to bad movies, huh? Yeah. Wow.
Well, I will say, I definitely hope we're not in for a boring Oscar year. I don't want to see Three Billboards win. I mean,
I think it's
or The Post.
Or The Post.
You think that'd be boring?
It would, and I actually think that's why it's having such a roller coaster thing, because it's like old school. It's like previously what would have been like
right,
the big thing.
It's part of this referendum that it's like old versus new. It's like, do you want to vote for something that stands for the way things used to work?
I do think that The Post is a nice movie because it's about the press, and you know, it's about like the press speaking truth to power, and that's kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, they said it all, and that joke where they made at the Golden Globes, I thought was hilarious when Seth Meyers was like, it's a drama directed by Steven Spielberg and starring Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep, and the girl comes out with the arm full of
not yet. Yeah. That's funny.
To me, I thought, I was like, oh, of course it's going to win everything, and then it didn't.
But also, just as a movie, just that third act made no sense. Where it was like Tom Hanks shows up to Meryl's house and is like, we might go to prison. And then cut to like the Supreme Court ruling. Oh, everything's like the stakes were immediately dropped.
That's like what happened in Greatest Showman when they were like, oh no, everything burned down and we lost all the money. Wait, hold on. We can still do it. and then they literally just did it.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
It's like Efron was almost dead. They lost all the money. Shit burnt down. Wait, hold on. Actually, .. And all of a sudden, there's a tent.
None of this matters. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, for everyone that's waited this far to see Greatest Showman, who is planning on seeing it next week, I guess. I would be gagged if This Is Me won an Oscar. And we got to see. Do you think she'll sing it with the beard on the Oscars?
Or do you think Kesha would come in and sing
No, if they get Kesha to sing that song, that would be a slap in the face to Keala.
It needs to be Keala.
Miss Keala, settle.
It's
actually rule number 53 of culture.
Miss Keala, settle. I butchered the name a little bit.
So did I, actually.
That's okay.
I don't think she listens. I don't think she's thinking about it.
Sure.
She's too busy refreshing the hits on that one viral video she has now. the rehearsal of The Greatest Showman. Have you seen
that?
Oh,
yeah.
There's a point where she's singing it, and she goes over, and Hugh Jackman's there, like, watching her, and she...
I've heard about this,
breakdown in the bridge when she's like...
I've heard about
gonna
this.
Calm it down. And she goes over and, like, grabs his hand, and she's, like, looking at Hugh like they've been friends their whole fucking life. And she's, like, connecting with him, and he's like, yes, honey, like, give it all you got.
Cameras,
like, I'm straight.
The cameras were there. Cameras were there.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Yeah.
He was feeling that. He got up, he started dancing.
Also, did you see the clip of, so he had, like, I guess, like, skin cancer removed from his face, so he couldn't sing that day. So they brought in Jeremy Jordan to do all of his parts, and he's singing the song "From Now On." That was my best Hugh Jackman impression.
Good,
that's pretty good.
Yeah,
not bad. Thank you. But so Jeremy starts to sing the song, and Hugh's like standing beside him because they said, Hugh, could you just like stand up and like act it with your face because the buyers are here, like let's sell the movie. He's like sitting there and he's listening to the song, and he just like is crying a single tear, and then he just starts singing like against the wishes of his doctor because he was supposed to be there and like not sing, but then he just starts singing it from this place of like passion that you wish you possessed. Like Hugh Jackman just buys into this bullshit so much. He's singing this song, honey. He is belting. He and the, all the cast is like, oh my god. Except Jeremy Jordan is standing there like, mm-hmm. Cool. Am I not doing this now? Like, am I not singing the song?
What's
is my check the same? Like, what's good with this?
You know what? That's a lot of storytelling in one video.
It was crazy.
Wow.
Also, that's why I like the movie. It's too much.
It is.
When
sure.
During This Is Me, also Rewrite the Stars, that number, I got my life. And also, I thought Zac Efron was maybe one of the best things about the movie. And the greatest scene in acting this year is when Zac Efron goes, you brought joy into my life.
Okay. All right.
It's better than anything you've ever done, you've ever done, and I've ever done. And anyone that listens to this, you haven't done anything as good as Zac Efron in Rewrite the Stars. And... Greatest Showman.
Okay, let's move on to I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay,
I think are we gonna make this an award? We'll give this an award.
I would like to make this a cinema centric. I don't think so, honey. Because I definitely have one.
Great. Okay. Cool. I've got one. Do you want to? I went first last week. You want to go first this time?
I could go first.
Okay. So this is 1 minute to rail against something in culture. For this one, for this installment, something in cinema. Maybe this year. Maybe at large, or just you know, without. Whatever.
I have topical fish.
Topical
okay. Fish.
So this is topical fish. I don't
Speaking
think
Speaking of, by the way, RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars come back real soon. And guess what, guys? We're going to be recapping it for Vulture.
We're recapping for Vulture jointly. It'll be very fun.
That and America's Next Top Model.
Yes.
So read up on Vulture.
Great. So this is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Not Mark Wahlberg, but anyone who puts Mark Wahlberg in a movie. Here's the deal. You have never, ever, ever seen Mark Wahlberg give a truthful piece of acting in his life. He's always Mark Wahlberg trying really hard, and try as hard as he might, he's never going to give you the realness. Mm. An Oscar nomination for The Departed? Like, yeah. For, like, standing there and saying the lines. No, thank you, honey. I Don't Think So, Honey. Also, he is good in Boogie Nights. By accident, just like January Jones and Mad Men.
Wow.
By accident. I'm sorry. All credit goes to Paul Thomas Anderson, and he is exempt from this I Don't Think So, Honey, because of course you want to cast Mark Wahlberg as a porn star. That works for me. Mark Wahlberg is all up in all the money in the world, which is a kind of an ironic title. And also, I just want to say, he can't possibly
15 seconds.
Be saving this movie from itself. First of all, Ridley Scott, I would have like a little bit of sympathy for you had you like cast another actor, but you show that you don't care about your movie when you put Mark Wahlberg in it.
5 seconds.
It is a
wow.
money thing, and I don't trust anyone that jumps onto the Transformers franchise in the fourth film. I Don't Think So, Honey. Anyone who puts Mark Wahlberg in a movie.
And that's 1 minute. Oh my goodness.
Sorry, but like to pretend he's a good actor is insane. Like, he's never done anything worth it on screen, really, except look like Mark Wahlberg, which, you know what, says a lot.
And he also has disowned the Boogie Nights, which is his only claim to greatness.
I was
going to
say, it's an insane thing to say.
Insane.
Also, I'm sorry, but he said he could stop 9/11.
And he blinded a fucking Vietnamese man.
Look, there's so much with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh,
it's so funny that only now people are like, actually, fuck this guy. No, actually, fuck this guy for producing Entourage. Actually, fuck this guy for producing anything else where, I'm sorry, but it's a group of men, and the joke is, oh, there's cum on the floor over there. Like, I'm so over these bro series.
I love this. That's the catch-all sort of image, is there's cum on the floor.
Yeah, it's like that movie with what's-his-face, Miles Teller, who I can't stand, and Zac Efron and Michael B. Jordan. Like when that movie where they were all like three dudes who fuck.
Sure.
That was like it. You know what I mean? It's like these movies where it's like, oh, dude, my boner won't go down. Yeah, it's like, I don't want to see this shit. And literally, who is the man that produces all that kind of garbage? Mark Wahlberg. So like directors of Hollywood, stop buying into it. Just don't give them the fucking check. It's insane that we're even putting goddess Michelle Williams on the same keel as like Mark Wahlberg. It doesn't make any sense.
Lovely.
I mean, no.
Okay, and this is the longest you've gone to like extrapolate beyond your minute. Is
well, because I did what I did last week too, which is I started my I Don't Think So Honey as one thing, and then I realized it was about another. I should have just said I Don't Think So Honey Mark Wahlberg. That's really my problem.
Yeah, I think he's...
Because if he didn't exist, then directors wouldn't be putting him in movies, and therefore I wouldn't have a problem with them.
You made him the object and not the subject.
You're right. I have to be more active and less passive.
There you go. Okay. All right.
Okay.
I think I'm ready.
This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So Honey, and his time starts right now.
I Don't Think So Honey, Alexander Payne for saying that Hong Chau is Vietnamese for scene stealer. What the fuck? Take those kinds of racist fucking jokes when you were married to Sandra Oh, you piece of shit. I refuse to see Downsizing. Even if I had the screener in front of me, I would chuck that out the fucking window, or I would give it to some street salesman in Chinatown and say, you know what, I hope you make $20 off of this, sir. Look, Alexander Payne has put all of us through so much. I never want to talk about Sideways. I never want to think about it again. I never want to think about The Descendants again. I never want to think about his stupid cishet older men centric films ever again. I don't think so, honey. Alexander Payne.
15 seconds.
Don't you make a mockery of Hong Chau's name when she is the only redeeming thing about your film. How do I know that without seeing the film?
I saw it.
Matt saw it. That's how I know. So I don't fucking think so, honey. Alexander Payne, you disgusting piece of shit director who will not amount to anything after this huge stain on your filmography and your conscience.
And that's 1 minute and 8 seconds. Listen, Downsizing is interesting for the first hour and then becomes fully insane. Did you agree?
Yeah, well, but Hong Chau is amazing in it.
She is incredible. She's incredible.
No, I'm not disputing that she's not amazing.
But we can confirm that Hong Chau is not Vietnamese for scene stealer.
Like, I get that it's a compliment, but like,
no,
just call her a scene stealer.
Yeah, just say.
Oh my god.
Say it was great.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
I don't know.
And how about if you're making a movie like that you're willing to change in every act because it becomes a different movie in every act? How about realize it should be all about her because she's the interesting part?
Wow.
And then change the movie.
Truly insane to pretend that Kristen Wiig is in it.
Oh, right.
Like, she is not in it. She's not in it. She took a weekend off and did that movie. And also, I'll tell you what, when that movie fully lost itself was that zany music it was playing when during the reveal that she didn't go through with it. They're like, boop, doop, 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 doop. That's like happening while he's like on the phone with Kristen Wiig, finding out that she didn't do it. It's like, yeah, this movie tonally is a fucking garbage heap.
I think it's important to say that Nathaniel just basically script doctored that movie in two sentences.
There you go.
So that
could be another sideline of work for me, which I could use. So if anybody needs a script doctor.
Honestly, listen.
This is someone who knows his stuff.
One very good one passed away last year, so we need another one.
Who's that?
Ms. Carrie Fisher.
Oh, Carrie.
Famous
script doctor.
Script doctored, and no one really knows that.
Yeah, yeah.
And famously wrote lots of novels, which I think a lot of people haven't read, but are amazing.
Yeah, she's incredible.
She was in my list of like culture things. Also, her books.
Oh, big
Surrender the Pink, which was after Postcards from the Edge. Oh. Even better than Postcards from the Edge.
Wow, they should make that into a film then.
They should.
Surrender the Pink.
I haven't seen Postcards from the Edge. I should see that. Have you seen Thelma and Louise?
Famous. This is one of our.
Oh my god.
This is one of our big things.
We have
to
sit down and watch that.
I know. I've never seen it.
That's my favorite movie ever. I think
it's the best.
It's a Ridley Scott film, which makes me say, Ridley, I know you're better than this. And I'm someone that even liked Prometheus.
I didn't hate... Did he direct the latest movie, the Covenant movie?
No, he didn't do that one.
He didn't do that one.
He did Prometheus, which I liked.
He's very hit and miss.
He's
very
super hit and miss, but when he hits, I think he's like among the best. But also, he's working with like a fucking historically good script on Thelma and Louise. So.
And it's really kind of co-directed by... by Susan and Gina, I think.
You think so?
Oh,
I think, you know that Palme d'Or winner a few years back, blue is the warmest color?
Yes.
How the jury decided that the actresses should also have the Palme
d'Or. Wow.
So it was the director and both actresses. That should have been Thelma and Louise, I think.
I think I might agree.
For the Oscars.
So would you call yourself a Susan Sarandon apologist?
No.
Not after the election?
I can only take it so far.
Yeah, you're right.
Thelma and Louise only takes you so far.
Exactly. I would say I'd be interested in smoking and getting very high with Susan Sarandon because she looks like a lot of fun. It looks like someone who definitely knows her way around marijuana.
Okay.
And that's it. Like, and then I probably would be like, oh, that was like really strange. Because like she probably would say some crazy shit like Bernie could like solve cancer or something.
Could solve cancer. We've had friends who've worked with her who have had nothing but nice things to say.
Sure.
All right, Nathaniel, this is big. Are you ready? Not to put pressure on you. This is going to be.
I'm not sure I'm ready. I didn't prepare anything awards.
Okay. Yeah, but okay. Yeah, but you know what? You know when
this
heart.
Is all top of mind for you. You know, it's like it'll. You know, it's there. It's all there. You just have to skim.
And don't feel free to not go as fast as we went because we famously speak. Faster than we can think, and we can't think very fast. Whereas I think you have an incredibly fast mind.
Yes.
And maybe speak at your own pace.
And Nathaniel's sharpness will take him all the way here.
Absolutely.
We're giving pre-color commentary. But yeah.
Can I break the rules and not make it about awards?
You can do whatever you want.
Just because I have something I have to get
no
off
rules.
My...
This is drag.
This is drag. Okay, there are no rules. Okay, this is Nathaniel.
Okay.
We're about to kick this off. This is Nathaniel. Nathaniel Rogers is I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. It is January 2018, and every January I have to start the year hearing Frank Sinatra's New York, New York.
Oh, ew!
And it was written for fucking Liza Minnelli.
Oh! Yes!
And it should be Liza Minnelli.
You're right.
And Frank Sinatra's always stealing from the Minnellis because they also call him. I know he's dead. But
doesn't
I don't,
matter. Speak it.
But
matter.
I don't care because the world's greatest entertainer.
30 seconds.
That none of this heteronormative bullshit. Yes. That is Judy Garland's
yes.
title.
Yes.
So now he stole that title mm-hmm. posthumously, but still stole it.
Right. Still stolen nonetheless.
And that's Judy's. And then takes New York, New York signature song from Liza Minnelli. And it bugs me every January is when I get worked up about it. So I just wanted to share it with
both
of
you. Oh, my God.
I don't think so, honey.
Oh, yeah. My God. And that's 1 minute. Amazing. Wow.
You know what? And also an education because I truly, you would never even know Liza was the one.
Because it is constantly associated and wrongfully accredited to Frank.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
wow.
It's the first thing we hear every year. And that's why the world sucks.
And it's every year you realize the world sucks because Frank sings it and it's not his.
It's like when the ball drops and you have this euphoric feeling of a new year, but something is wrong. It's because of what's playing.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's like, you guys know the filmmaker Bruce LaBruce?
No.
Okay, he's a gay indie filmmaker. Okay.
Love him.
So he has this movie called Raspberry Reich, and one of the things that the activists are always saying is heterosexuality is the opiate of the masses.
Truly.
And that is why it's always Frank Sinatra's voice instead of Liza's.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That's unbelievable. Okay, I have a question. Is the Judy Garland biopic with Anne Hathaway still happening?
Oh, that's another thing I was going to bring up in this whole blah!
Yeah.
Is I was at a party for Les Mis.
Oh.
And I was super, super sick. So I didn't want to breathe on Anne Hathaway because I worship her.
Yes,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, you like Anne.
But I don't... We do not need any more Judy Garland biopics.
Thank you. Have Me and My Shadows.
That's right. We have had...
Judy Davis.
We have had plenty, but Anne Hathaway should be starring in a Liza Minnelli biopic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said this at my table that I was sitting at this Les Mis thing, and Robert Wool, is that the guy in Arliss, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
He's at my table, and he gets up and goes to Anne Hathaway and tells her this.
Oh.
He took credit for my idea.
Oh, my God! Robert Wool!
comes back to the table and say, oh, I told her that thing about Liza
Minnelli.
I don't
think so, honey. Robert Wool.
Oh, Robert Wool. Yeah, well, too bad we had to search for that fucking credit. Arliss? Sandra Oh's moved on from that. Why don't you, Robert?
My favorite joke ever in 30 Rock. This is a lie. It's a joke from 30 Rock, but I like. And Jack Donaghy's like, what am I going to do? Listen to some Cable Ace Award winner? And Jane Krakowski goes, I was great in that Arliss.
That's amazing.
So good.
That's really good.
So good.
Oh, my God. But Anne should be in an Eliza biopic. Anyway, this has been so great.
I want to say that I was literally scrolling through your website like I do every single day, and I saw that you had posted my web series called Power Couple that I did with Sudie Green, and Bowen was in the episode as well. And I had a literal heart attack because I don't respect anyone's taste more than yours. I think this website is so good. It gives me so much joy every day. It's literally, I go to Facebook, I go to Gmail, I go to you, and I go to this website called screamscape.com about theme parks.
Oh, sure.
Interesting.
Are you a theme park gay?
I have been to the Disney Gay Days twice.
Oh, wonderful. So we have never been to Gay Days.
But that's about it. But that's about it.
Well, listen.
Listen. You figure very prominently into Matt's life, into my life now. It's wonderful. So thank you so much.
And we can't wait for the Film Bitch Awards.
Yes.
Coming soon. Very soon.
And for your top 10 for 2017.
Now, do you try to do the Film Bitch Awards before everything happens? Everything hits?
I try to do them before the Oscar nominations because the years I've done them after, on accident, people have been like, you're just trying to be a contrarian.
Well, then clock's ticking.
I know.
You've got a week.
But it's in to be a contrarian.
It's in. It's very
you like to be a contrarian.
Oh, I would say we all do, as much as the next person. Can't wait for the Film Bitch Awards. Can't wait for the top 10.
Just want to say again, it's thefilmexperience.net.
And you know what? Light, I don't think so, honey, to Squarespace, because Nathaniel was telling me, can we say this on the air?
Sure.
Squarespace has categorized thefilmexperience.net as a legacy site.
What?
In terms of the layout and the design, you know, the design, whatever, the layout. and they're not giving him the support that he needs, that he and his staff of writers need.
So everybody should be donating to the site then.
Donate to the
site.
Or he
didn't ask, I did.
Call up Squarespace.
Squarespace and say, you know what? You make it very easy to make a site, but you don't make it easy to love you. I want to say that Bowen and I, alongside Dave Mazzoni, are going to be in Chicago this weekend. We're going to be doing our show, Game Show, that Dave and I host, and Bowen is going to be the wise queer on that show.
I can't wait. And I will also be performing at Paper Machete at the Green Mill on Saturday of the 20th. I'm so excited. It's one of my favorite shows I've ever done.
Yeah, so come out, Chicago. Yeah. We're coming out. It's going to be very cold.
It's going to be a good time.
Is it?
Yeah, like in the 40s.
Where will we go after? Scarlet or Berlin? What's the good one?
Oh, Scarlet. We got
to
do Scarlet.
So we're going to go to Scarlet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But leave us alone. no, check us out. I think we're at 9 p.m. on Friday the 19th and Saturday the 20th as part of the Chicago Sketch Comedy Festival.
We're very excited.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Nathaniel. This
Yay!
Was our
that was
pleasure.
Fun to be here.
So fun to have you. Okay, we always end with a song.
Here we go.
We are peaking so hard. Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.